Welcome to the REI Mastermind Network, where host Jack Haas gathers amazing stories from leaders in real estate investing. In each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed, and best of all, you'll learn actionable steps to take your real estate investing to the next level. Now, here's Jack with another value-packed episode.
We have John Jackson with us here today. And before we get started, if you don't know John, John is essentially the king of lease options. And so we're going to dive a little into that here today. And head over to freeleaseoptiontraining.com. And I'll make sure to have that link in the show notes. But I really appreciate your time here today, John.
You bet. Yeah, great. Great to be here, Jack. I know we had a techie issue, but we're past that now.
Yeah, we're past that. I appreciate your patience on that. Well, John, I mentioned that this is really an underserved topic on my show, and I've always been really intrigued by it. I got some rapid fire questions that we're probably going to get through here in about 20 minutes, but can we break it down just really quickly and summarize what lease options are for our newer listeners?
Yeah, so a lease option is simply a lease with an option of purchase. So if you've ever, think about a car, if you've ever leased a BMW or a Cadillac, a Corvette, whatever the case may be, you're leasing it, but you had the right to buy that BMW before the lease expired. That was a lease option. So if you've ever leased a car, you've had a lease option. We do the same thing, except instead of a BMW, we do a lease option on a house. So the buyer is leasing the property with the option to buy it within a certain amount of time. That is a lease option. And there's different types of lease options used for different strategies, different techniques, different situations. But we focus on short-term lease option assignments whereby the seller's getting full price. We then market that lease option to the end buyer, and our buyers get finance on the property within 12 months.
Okay. So with all that being said, so when you're essentially getting the property under contract from the seller, so you're really not using any of your own money in acquiring these properties. Is that fair to say?
No, but there's no money.
Sure. So when you place a resident, I hate to say it's not really essentially a down payment. It's like a lease payment or something up front.
Option fee.
Sure. And that what typically is the size of that option fee?
About 5%.
5% of the value of the house. And then you obtain, how do you find the value of the house? Are you just using comps or?
Yeah, we use comps. Typically, the house that we're working with are already for sale. So the seller's already trying to sell them. These are not desperate sellers. So they've already been trying to sell them, you know, for sale by owner or listed with an agent. And so they've been on the market for a little bit. And, you know, we'll go and look at comps real quickly. And it's very, very easy to set the numbers because normally they're very close to what the value is. And we're setting that option price at full price. So it's pretty easy to set.
Sure. Okay. So with all of that, do you find that you have to do some education of the seller then to even understand what the lease option is all about?
A little bit, but not too much. You know, if you try to way over explain it, I mean, I do a 3-day boot camp. Well, I'm not going to take all the information from a 3-day boot camp, trying to, you know, force feed that into a seller's head. I just bullet points. Okay, it's a short-term lease purchase. You're going to get full price, no commission, cash flow each month. The buyers that we're working with are going to be living in the property, giving you payments every month. They're responsible for the repairs. They get a home warranty. They're simply looking for a little bit of time to get things in place for financing. In the meantime, you're getting money each month. You're getting cash flow each month, and then they cash you out, but typically within 10 to 12 months, and you don't pay a commission. And the clients, the buyers pay us our fee. So that's, believe it or not, that's really all the, there you go. That's the education they get.
Yeah. So when the client pays your fee, do you get a piece of each monthly transaction, or how does that work?
We don't, because it's not on an assignment. On an assignment, you just a one-time, it's a transaction fee. It's a one-time pop. Where you get part of the monthly is on a sandwich lease option, where you stay in the middle.
So what are you typically doing then?
Assignments.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So are you, is your assignments fee essentially that 5% that you collect at
the
beginning?
So our fee is 5%. It's our option fee. Yeah.
Okay. Do you find that people have saved up enough to be able to pay out the 5%?
Yeah, they're coming to us. They've already been looking for a house. And so they've got that money saved up.
Sure. So then during that 10 year period, are you providing any kind of information or feedback? Because at this point, they've probably exhausted their bank routes. Are you helping them and guiding them a little improving them?
We have the lender in place to help them get finance. If they need credit improvement, we've got the company to do that as well. Most of the people that come to us, that believe it or not, we don't need any credit improvement. They just need a little bit of time to get things in place. And we've got the financing in place for them as well.
Sure. So are you doing this across the U.S. or are you sticking to certain areas?
All the way across the U.S. from Hawaii all the way to New York, Florida.
So, sure. Are there any kind of regulations that people should be aware of? That
Texas has specific, Texas, North Carolina, Ohio, they've got some specific requirements for the lease option. So we've got, we've our very, very specific documentation that we use. So you want to be aware of that. Texas is known as the most strict. And as it turns out, I'm actually the only educator who teaches lease options for Texas. But even their requirements are very, very, doable, if you will.
Right. Sure. So you mentioned regarding any kind of repairs and the like, the responsibility of the resident. Is that something that somebody could get in trouble with if the lease isn't written correctly? Or,
well, first of all, the houses that we work with, and this is important, the houses that we work with are nice move-in ready houses. So these are not lean-tos. So I always say that if a house needs repairs, that's not a good lease option. Sell it, seller finance. So the houses we work with are nice move-in ready, don't have issues. Then plus the buyer gets a home warranty. We make him get a home warranty. So there again, that covers their repairs as well. So we don't get into issues there with repairs.
Sure. So how much is a typical home warranty then that you're talking
$600 for a year.
Oh, that's not unreasonable at all.
No, we use Old Republic Total Protection. It's a lot better than American Home Shield.
Sure. And then what does that typically cover? Like all of the major?
It covers everything. The only thing it doesn't cover is like a slab leak.
Sure. Okay. Well, based on what your experience then, what are some of the myths associated with lease options that you need to bust?
So, well, some of the myths are that you can't do them in Texas, which is crap. Of course, you can do them in Texas. It's just that there's only a few people that ever read the law, and I'm one of them. So that's one of the myths. Another myth is that people that can do a lease option never get financed. Well, if they don't get financed, it means you didn't structure it right, or that you didn't know how to qualify a buyer. And so that's a myth. And then another myth is that the only people that want a lease option buyer has really crappy credit, and that's not true. We work with people that haven't set that we work with people that have a 720 FICO score, but they just want some time to get financed. Mm-hmm. These are great buyers,
right? Well, like kind of in particular too with the economy as it is right now, I can see how something like this would maybe be a little more attractive as interest rates are going up. Maybe they want a little more time for those to come back down again.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing is that any creative financing, seller financing, a lease option, wraps subject to the, seller finance in particular is going to be the new Alt-A financing really across the board. Seller financing is going to be associated with crappy houses that Hispanics that have cash. That's not really that's kind of going away in the sense of that ideology. People that, want to get into a $350,000 house, buy seller finance, the seller finance lease option. They're becoming the way of people getting the house. Now, lease option is, you can convert a lease option to a seller finance. When you have all the ridiculous requirements that banks have, the lenders have, and they're getting 6% interest or, as those rates go up and up, I just see people getting tired of having to rely on institutions and put their faith in institutions. They want a person-to-person transaction. That's what a seller finance is. That's what a lease option is. And it's much easier because you're not having to go through some government loophole to make sure that this government entity approves you of owning a house.
Right. So, when you initially establish a value of the house, and that's the lease option amount, is there any, do their payments count towards ticking that down at all? Or how does that look like?
So we used to give them a rent credit where part of their payment went towards the purchase. We stopped doing that in 08, 09 when the lending guidelines changed. So now we just do a thorough concession where a flat amount is going towards their closing costs. So when they go to get finance, there's a seller concession there.
Oh, okay. So is that something that sits in escrow essentially?
No, it's just all paper.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's just a seller concession is all it is.
So over 10 years, I'd imagine that what they're gaining then is the house value stays consistent over 10 years.
Well, we're doing a 1-year lease option.
Oh,
Everybody needs to understand this. The longer the term of the lease option, the less likely the buyer's going to get to buy the house.
Oh, okay.
On a lease option, anyway. The reason being is because life happens. They get divorced. They have a kid. They had 3 kids. They went to college. Their needs for a house change. So that's why we do 12-month lease options, because we want our buyers in there, boom, get financed. There you go.
Oh, you said 12-month. I heard year instead of, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So let's say at 12 months when it expires, then can they renew?
If they need to, normally they would just buy the property.
Sure. So if they renew, then does the amount change, like the value of the house? It could.
Yeah, it certainly could. If they needed to extend the lease option, that the owner can say, okay, I'll extend it, but I'm going to raise the price, you know?
Sure. Okay. Well, you mentioned that you're talking to people with houses already on the MLS and people who are doing like for sale by owners. Is there any marketing techniques that you're using to attract these people, or are you just cold calling them?
No, I don't cold call. For sale by owner, for rent by owner, expired listings, you can text them. For listed houses over 30, 60, 90, we send direct mail to them.
Okay.
So then they're calling us. It makes the conversation 1,000 times easier. Because they're calling us, interrupting our time, our space, saying, hey, I got your thing. Tell me more about it. So
it sounds like you're getting the seller on board. You're taking the lease option payment up front as your fee. You're getting it all set in, and you're essentially doing the service for the seller and just getting it all set up and then stepping out of the way.
Yeah, we're packaging it all together with the terms, the contract, everything, marketing that and getting our fee, and then we're out of the picture.
Okay. So what are the common mistakes that you've seen when people are trying to do this on their own?
Their contracts suck. You know, and the thing is that if somebody wants to use free contracts, if they want to do real estate and they want to use free contracts, they got offline somewhere, stop doing real estate. Just stop, because you're not in business. Your contract, you are only as good as your contracts. And so first of all, you've got to use very good contracts. Secondly, you got to know how to set the numbers. Even educators out there, there are gurus, that are friends of mine, don't know how to set the numbers properly on a lease option. They literally just pull them out of their backside. You got to set the numbers right. Otherwise, you set everybody up for failure. The seller, the buyer, you know, set them all up for failure. So you got to set the numbers. And only work for a lease option, don't do a crappy house. Do a nice house. A nice house is move-in ready. If the house needs repairs, that's not a lease option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the plumbing isn't working, that's not a lease option. So nice houses, and look for buyers that are going to be financeable within 12 months. One of the things that some people teach is, hey, as long as I've got the option fee, they're in. Well, that's a bad way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the option fee. Yeah, they got a 420 FICO score, but wow, they got the option fee. I'll let them in. That's not good. You're setting them up for failure.
So do you use a servicing company then to basically manage the payments that are happening here, or is it just...
No, they just go directly to the seller.
Oh, okay. They just cut the seller check directly.
Yeah, they just go electronically. Yeah. The only time I've used a servicing company is for our seller finance deals.
Right.
We'll do that because there's escrow there.
Okay. Well, I want to remind everybody, freeleaseoptiontraining.com for John and his team. There's probably quite a bit of content there. And I know John's been on a ton of other podcasts. So there's a lot of value that you bring. And I have a billion other questions here for you. You just opened a can of worms, John. So I hope I can convince you to come on another time, hopefully tech issue free. But I did have a couple other questions. So with the sellers, then you got them on board, and you're doing this across the country. Have you found, like, what are your marketing strategies to reach these people on such a broad scale across the United States?
Well, I've got students across the country is what I do. So now, if it was just me, I wouldn't be doing it all across the country. I would focus on a state or an area.
You know? Oh, sure.
Like when I started, I just did the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That was my bread and butter territory.
But so I've got you and your students partnering on this?
Yeah, we just be on deals. You know, we work with about 30 to 40, about 35 to 40 people at a time across the U.S., and we JV on deals with them.
Oh, okay. So where does the joint venture need to come into account on this if they're essentially doing this with, doesn't sound like much money at all?
Yeah, you mean as far, they're not putting up, we're not putting money into the property, but with my students, of course, they're using my marketing techniques, my business name, you know, my training, and then we do the deals together.
No, I follow you. That makes a lot of sense. So you mentioned houses that are like nice and ready to move in. Do you tackle any updates or repairs like painting or anything? Just it's got to be ready to go. Will you advise the seller as to some things that might need to be done?
I guess if it were to come up, but normally it's like, let's go, let's do it. You know, like I would never go, okay, you know, this, your daughter's room that's pink. Yeah, I need to paint it a neutral color. No, I don't give a crap. You know, but because whoever comes in the house, guess what they're going to do? They're going to paint the room.
Right.
But it's got to be move in ready. You know?
Right. So the person, it's got to be like vacant, like right away, or can there be like a lap?
Our buyers are typically looking at 3 to 4 weeks to move in.
Okay.
So the seller, a lot of the houses we work with, the seller still lives there. And that's fine. It's just once we have the buyer, now we got to coordinate the move in, move out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's really enlightening. I again, one more time, freeleaseoptiontraining.com, John Jackson. I really hope you'll consider coming back again sometime.
Yeah, I know we only scratched the surface, Jack. We had some tech issues that I normally don't have tech issues, but we had whatever tech issues for whatever reason. So we had to get in what we could here, and I've got a hard stop for another show here just a little bit. But yeah, we'll definitely need to get to do a part two.
Yeah, let's do a part two if you don't mind. But John, I really appreciate your time. You're welcome back anytime. I really hope you'll take me up on that. And again, it's freeleaseoptiontraining.com. Thanks, John.
Hey, take care. Thank you.
Have you learned at least one actionable step to incorporate into your real estate investing? If so, please consider returning some of that value by leaving a positive review, subscribing to our YouTube channel, or joining our growing network on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to all of our social media accounts in the show notes. See you next time.